Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me again as we listen to a week of interviews from the Good News Cruise. This week, we have Bishop Bob McClory from Gary, Indiana. He's on the board of Renewal Ministries, and he dives into the book of Ephesians with us. Enjoy. We are going to dive again into Ephesians and walk through Ephesians again. If you listen to the show, you know we only make it through a few verses at a time, so you won't be surprised to know that we still haven't made it through chapter one. You know, we're on the third day and we're still getting through chapter one because we are chewing on God's word. We're not rushing through. We're chewing on God's word. And so I'm so blessed to have with me Bishop McClory from Gary, Indiana. Thank you for joining me, Bishop.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a joy to be here, Rachel. I've certainly known Rachel and her family for many years. My first time on your radio broadcast, but a dear friend of your family and involved in so many renewal projects with your folks and others. And it's a tremendous day to be here. So today, I was telling Rachel earlier, actually marks, it was 6 years ago today that I was ordained a bishop. Yeah. And so this is a special day to be able to celebrate and to reflect on God's word with you today, Rachel.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here and for letting us celebrate this with you. It is a big day. It's like your birthday,
kind of. Yes.
Are you going to get, you should get two desserts at dinner.
Because you know, we will see. I'm going to have a special meal tonight.
Tell the staff, That's right. That's awesome. Well, Bishop, I love before we actually dive into God's word, we've been talking with the guests that are on just about engaging in God's word. And I think a lot of times as Catholics, we can kind of have this intimidation factor about God's word of like, oh, I need this high intellectual academic expert to guide me through. And if I don't have that, I can't just pick up my Bible in my room and dive in myself. And so I just love even your own personal experience with God's word, but also just as a bishop, just speak to us a little bit about the importance of being in God's word and chewing on God's word. Yeah.
You know, it's you make an excellent point, Rachel, that really we are called to open the word and to enter into it. The best thing to do, and Rachel, I did this earlier, but is to really, as you encounter God's word, to first of all invite the Holy Spirit to guide you, to illumine your heart, to reveal to you in the passage the message that the Lord wants to have. So we'll begin today, as we begin every study of God's word, with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts so that your word will penetrate those hearts, that you will come into us in the way that we need to hear from you, and that you would allow our experience of your word, the word of God and the living word, you Christ yourself, to guide us always. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I would say, so, I mean, of course, I've been a priest now for 26 years, 27 years almost, and a bishop for 6 years, but really my encounter with God's word was very practical. I decided when I went to college, and I was not a seminarian, that somehow I got it in my brain that every night before I would go to sleep, I would read one chapter from beginning to end of the New Testament. Mm. And so it was just a very concrete way. And, you know, some chapters are small, some chapters are large. But I thought, you know, I will just open up God's word every night before I go to bed, reading one chapter a day. And interestingly, I didn't kind of announce that, but other guys on my floor kind of came to know, well, he reads like the Bible every day.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit of a witness. That wasn't the purpose of it, but it just helped me to be immersed deeply in God's word. And I particularly think, I mean, the New Testament obviously is very accessible. There are different writing styles and different purposes. But I did that at least, I want to say, three times through. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I thought, well, I've done the New Testament. I'm just going to go into the Old Testament. And I have to say, by the time I got to, like, all the numbers and cubits, I was like, my head was swimming. And I thought,
I
just sort of petered out, you know, a few books in. And that's why other resources, you know, Father Mike Schmitz is on here. I think now, because the Old Testament, you kind of, the context of some of that requires a little bit more reflection.
For sure.
For me, I don't think, like, starting chapter one, going to the end of the Old Testament is the best way to do it, at least in terms of the way I was wired at that time.
Absolutely.
But that really got me immersed in God's word. Mm-hmm. It's a little different now. You know, the spirituality of a priest, particularly a parish priest and a bishop, is that virtually every day you're preaching. Mm. So the way I approach God's word is different now in that I pray through it, of course, for God to reveal himself to me. But it's a little different because I'm always asking God, how do I share this with others?
Sure.
And so that is a different way of approaching God's word. But it makes the word of God just a constant part of my life because I'm saying, Lord, inspire me for what I need to hear, but also for how I am to share and preach this word.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful both and.
Yes, that's amazing. And I think there's so much in that, even though you're a bishop and you're asking that question for you, I think there's so much in that for us too, that there's a way actually when we're reading that even though we're not, you know, preaching and having to go and preach the daily readings, but even just that question of, okay, Lord, what are you revealing to me and what are you asking me to share throughout my day and go out and share, even though we're not preaching, you know, the readings, you know, I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really the both and that you can ask God to reveal how you're supposed to receive this and then how will it, you know, propel you into the day or maybe you study the Bible at the end of the day into the next day and so on. But the Lord has a purpose for all of us and we're called to engage. And so I do think, as you mentioned, there's sometimes people can be almost, I don't say intimidated by the Bible, but they do feel like they really need to kind of have a, I don't know, some specialized degree in theology or something. And
absolutely.
Of course, you know, there are passages that you need to work through. There are passages where if you're confused by it, you know, you could ask your pastor, your priest, someone who's knowledgeable, you can look it up. So there are certainly ways that we need assistance, but God's word is there for all of us and really to break it open as you do. Yeah. Through your radio program and your ministry is a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you're talking, Bishop, one thing I'm thinking of is just in my own life, how, you know, of course, in my own prayer time, and like you talked about how, you know, just going through and reading the New Testament in your dorm room. Where did you go to college, by the way?
So I went to Oakland University, which is in Rochester, Michigan. Then for graduate school, I was not a seminarian. I went to Columbia University, and I actually in a moment will share you a story about how I approach God's word a little bit differently there. Then I went to the University of Michigan for law school.
Go
so
blue.
Anyway, there
but
we go.
I was like, I thought you went to University of Michigan, but reading it in your dorm room, and for me, opening it up privately, whether it's in adoration or in my personal prayer, but then also we receive God's word at the Mass, and it really began to change for me when I would read not just the readings personally, but like the context of, you know, say it was in Ephesians, and I would go and I would find the reading, and then I would read the chapter around it, and then going into Mass, because I think sometimes, you know, we can kind of treat God's word in the Mass as like just an appetizer or like the thing that you have to get through to get to the Eucharist, you know, and so can you talk just a little bit from the perspective of the role of God's word in the Mass and really like approaching the table of the Lord as God's word and the Eucharist and how they work together and feeding us?
No, that's absolutely beautiful. I mean, the Mass fundamentally is divided into two parts, the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And, you know, you can actually go back into the New Testament and see the early pattern of this. I mean, there was a time that fundamentally Christians were actually, obviously they were Jewish, and so there was a time that they would gather together, you know, as Jews and then have a meal after, and then there were confusions about, like, different classes of who had the meal, and then eventually became house churches and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, you can literally see that fundamental, you know, two-part structure to the Mass in the New Testament.
Right.
And St. Paul actually writes a lot about, like, how that should be ordered. So we already see, I won't call them rubrics by St. Paul, but a certain pattern that is presented to us. And so we have retained that. And in fact, if you look at the early writings of Justin Martyr and others, the expression of the Mass, when they explained what Christians did, is always that meditation on God's word at the beginning. So it is fundamental. It's not just, as you said, an appetizer. And the other is sometimes people are like, well, I want to do a Bible study. How should I approach it? I mean, it's real easy to just say, hey, you know, on Tuesday nights, come on over to my house and we're going to read this week's reading. Like, you don't have to overthink it.
Yeah.
I find, because I'm chaplain to a married couples group, I can't be with them as much, that sometimes when we open up God's word and I hear what they have to say about it and I hear how others approach it, honestly, I do my best preaching after that.
Yeah.
Because
like,
I'm like, I'm like, okay, well, this is like, I didn't think of it that way or I didn't realize, like, you know, they see how this applies to their family or this passage touches their hearts. So to not just go to the Mass and be a little bit on autopilot.
Yeah.
And, okay, and I know, like, as somebody who, you know, attended Mass, I wasn't ordained a priest until I was 35 years old. There are times you can almost go on autopilot, you know, and it's like words,
right.
And
yeah.
I know I'm going to receive the Lord at the end. And so some intentionality before Mass of reading those scriptures and of saying, I want to get more out of this. I want to hear what the priest or the deacon or the bishop is going to preach on. And that's a distinctive role in the Mass that's reserved to clerics. But I want to enter into this passage according to what I think you want to reveal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I know that's a huge thing that's helped for me, not only reading the readings before, but even when I was going to Mass, when the readings would begin, I would say to myself, because Dave Arbum's beautiful document of the Church on God's Word talks about how the Lord feeds us with both word and sacrament. You know, how the meal is both. And so I would even just say to myself as the readings began, like, I am now sitting at the table of the Lord. I'm partaking even now in the meal as the readings are starting. Then that's, you know, reaches a high point in the Eucharist. But to actually be like, I'm feeding on the Lord even as I'm hearing the word preached. And it was so awesome to be like, when you begin to make your own roadmap, I've made one in Ephesians, you know, as you can tell. But as the Lord begins to make a roadmap in you, as you're saying, as you read the New Testament over and over, and then you heard those readings in the Mass, you have a different relationship with it, you know, because you're like, oh, I have history with the Lord in this book, or I have history with the Lord with these passages, and now I'm hearing it proclaimed by the church, and I'm feeding on it, and then we're reaching the high point together around the Lord's table. But I love what you said too about your feeding on it beforehand with your community, you know. So to say, like, how can I maybe not just read this in my prayer, but how can I feed on it with my family? We used to do that in my family, you know, read the readings together. How can I feed on it with my community? So then it really is amplified, and I'm hearing the Lord speak to me and to us as a body, you know, in a particular way once I get to the Mass. So I love that. But I want to hear your story about Columbia.
Okay, well, sure. Yeah. Just to, you know, real quickly, because even, I mean, you know, churches can be set up different ways, but, you know, the ambo is really the place from which, you know, God's word is proclaimed. And in many places, you might say, well, like, some places have, you know, like, the announcements are in a different kind of a lectern over there. But really, the place from which God's word is proclaimed is given a particular dignity in our architectural setting, and is very pronounced. Yeah, well, what I was going to say is, you know, because the Lord uses us in different ways. So for whatever reason, I don't know what exactly prompted me, but when I was in graduate school, I was living in New York City, going to school in Manhattan at Columbia. I had a summer where I was drawn to just the book of Romans. I mean, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And for me, that, I took my time with it. It wasn't particularly structured, but it opened up the saving action of Jesus Christ in a new way. And I would say that, which was on my own, it wasn't like with a group, it really did change my life because I began to see the reality of what Christ's death and resurrection meant. It opened up the God's plan in a different way just through the way St. Paul expounds it. And so there are times that you might be just drawn to a particular book. And so for me, it was Romans. And I think it was, you know, I always knew that, you know, Jesus died for me, that on the cross he could have, like, he could have zapped all the people around him and say, stop this, because he was God. And it was an act of humility and love. But I didn't quite understand how it just changed the universe, you know, that his death on the cross was a fulfillment of all the Old Testament, that it was the perfect sacrifice, that his then resurrection opened up for us a pathway that we're called to live virtuous and holy lives. But the point is that Jesus came to forgive us, and we could beat ourselves up over our sins, and we need to be having remorse and contrition, but it's only Jesus who can take that away, and that's why he came. So yes, we're called to follow the law, but we also know that the law won't save us, only Jesus will. And so it was just very freeing for me. And so I just bring that up as an example. You might be called to a particular book. And so for me, that forever opened up a window for me into what Jesus did. And it was the book of Romans. I know today we're working on Ephesians, but it was a wonderful, transformative experience for me.
Thanks so much for joining me, friends. Join us again tomorrow as we continue with Bishop McClory. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.